Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today to recap the double eviction of Big Brother Canada 7, it's the reigning champion of Big Brother Canada. It's Paris. How are you doing, Paris?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm great. Very happy to be speaking to you. Very excited to get your takes on what's been happening in this house. It's been a crazy house. And we just had, I don't know if you'd call it a crazy double eviction, but for me, it was a sad double eviction.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me on, by the way.
Of course, of course. Also joining us tonight is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Yeah, doing as good can be with coming after this kind of eviction. It was a real heartbreaker, but I don't know. I think we're still looking good going towards the rest of the season. So I'm trying to stay as optimistic as possible. And we have Paris here, so how could we be too upset about anything?
He was crying, guys. He was crying.
I know that broke my heart.
That was really, really tough to watch. I hated it. That was probably the one that touched me the most out of all the ones so far, because you could just see it that he was defeated even before he gave his speech. I felt for him.
Well, we are here to talk about everything that just went down on this double eviction and get through it all. It's been a season, but we're here for you. We're here to help. So let's talk about it. So we opened the episode. We actually got a lot more at the start of the episode than I thought we would in terms of what's going on in the house, and we got a diary room session from Mark indicating that he actually is done with the Pretty Boys. He's ready to turn on them. He just needs it to be a double eviction. So I don't know if he would have taken the shot had he won, or if he will still take the shot, or if now the double eviction's passed, he needs to wait longer. I'm not sure, but man, that was when it comes down to Mark, Eddie, or Adam, and it's like either of those other two options would lead to something. I have honestly barely any idea where it would go. And then Adam wins. It's like, oh man, Paris, what is happening?
I mean, I don't even know, to be fair, if Mark would target the Pretty Boys this early on. I do feel like Mark likes to portray himself a certain way. Mm-hmm. So I do think now that he's aware that, I mean, not now that he's aware, but the fact that he's aware that there could be a potential Canada vote, I feel like he's smart enough to read the house and know the fact that the Pretty Boys have been in power for this long is probably not, is not really making them the favorite in Canada's eyes. So I can see him being smart enough to say, like, oh yeah, I'm probably gonna take the shot, but I don't know if I see him taking that shot this early on. I mean, with Eddie, you're right, I have no idea who he would go for, because I know that he attempted to talk to Essie and Kiki and Damien and get an underdog thing going, and that didn't work out. I heard he wanted to join with Sam and Adam, I believe, so I don't know who he would take the shot at. But I mean, I'll tell you what though, I don't know if I love this Dane and Adam just winning back to back. So my vote was definitely somebody else who went.
I just tweeted this out. There have been five HOH competitions, and Adam and Dane are the only two people in the house that have won any of them, because Chelsea won one of them in the middle of the two of them back to back to back to back winning, and they just immediately sent her home. So even if we do get, I think, like a rogue HOH here, I think they might be cursed by Mackie's plague, and they'd probably just leave the next week anyway.
Last season we had Erica go back to back right after the double eviction, so it's not like it's too rare to see that go to happen. So could be Dane.
It's funny you say that, though. I was actually going to bring Erica up. What surprises me about this season versus our season is, as early as we saw Erica win Tomb Raider and we saw the power that she possessed and how good she was in competitions, immediately that night, we were all talking to each other like, this girl's got to go. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Dane and Adam are doing so well, but you still have these players have such a high allegiance to them, really surprises me. And they don't even think to themselves like, hey, these guys are winning back to back with this many people in the house, and they don't even wonder to themselves, like, if we let this go on for a bit longer, we could see them potentially steamroll through all of us. Like, they still hold this loyalty to them, which I don't understand. It's almost like they think that they're with them, even though they don't realize that they're clearly playing the entire house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's weird, because you would think that with them winning so much, they'd be huge targets, but it seems like the house is fine just kind of protecting them.
Yeah, and aside from the fact that, you know, the house is like all this one big, like, strange grouping of all these people that are working together, the fact that the HOH can't compete in the vetoes is definitely helping the comp threats, like, not be as big of a comp threat. Obviously, Erica was competing in all of those vetoes that she was playing in as HOH. This season, the HOH is not competing in any of the veto competitions, so they win one comp, and then that's it. They're sitting out until, like, 2 weeks later, and they don't get to show off their skills again. So people are probably not forgetting exactly that these guys are really good, but, like, you don't think about it as much when they're not playing, you know, every few days.
Yes. Fair. Interesting ramifications from that twist. So yeah. We saw Adam win this HOH, and the target he initially, first of all, there's a lot of cut stuff from this double eviction where they were literally just jump cutting, like, in the middle of a conversation, like, oh, hey, Anthony, what do you think we should do? Split up the twins. And Anthony's just like, well, if you think about later, then who should we target? It's like, whoa, what is he saying? So she's like cutting out in high entire sections. But initially he was thinking about maybe splitting up Esty and Kiki. And it seems like Anthony definitely was the one to get in there and be like, nope, it's Eddie. And Adam was like, you're right, it's Eddie. And then Sam tries to convince him to make some kind of other move, but he says it's not the time. Paris, was this the right move for Adam? Was Eddie the right person to get out here?
I mean, I feel like in hindsight, because we're outside of the game, we heard Eddie say, like, oh yeah, you know, I'm sucking up to this guy, I have a crush on him, but really I don't like them. I don't like the fact that they're in power, they're bullies, quote unquote, which, again, they're not. That's a different thing to be in power and be a bully. But I, in a way, maybe it's smart because Eddie would have potentially put Adam up. But to be fair with you, I don't think it's a smart move. Eddie, I think it's someone, again, I don't want to take credit for this. Someone on Twitter said this, and I think it's so true. They're like, it's smart to pretend to target Eddie, but it's not actually smart to target Eddie. Like, he had nobody. Take him in as a number. And you know what? It bummed me out too that, you know, his friends voted him out. I mean, he had a hard time making a lot of friends in the house. But to me, it's like, Kiki, Essie, like, Damien, what do you guys think Kira's doing for your game? Like, why wouldn't you keep Eddie as a number? So to me, I don't think it was a smart move to put him up. I don't think it was smart of the house to vote him out either. But I mean,
it was an interesting spot for Eddie, because if you think about it, like, the Pretty Boys have a lot of people on their side, and there's really, like, kind of three sides to the Pretty Boys, because each one of them has their own people. And I say three sides because Mark doesn't have any people. and so the three sides are: Dane has Kiki and Esty and Damien to some extent. Anthony has Corey and Damien to some extent. And then Adam has Sam and Kira and Damien to some extent, because they all feel good with Damien. But they all feel like those are all people, those are all their pawns. And Eddie is really the one person that doesn't have a single Pretty Boy sticking up for him to say, hey, no, that's my piece, you can't have this one. And so it really, in a lot of ways, is the safe call, not only in the sense that Eddie wasn't a big threat in the house, but also in the sense that, like, you know, nobody was protecting him outside of the Pretty Boys and nobody was protecting him inside of the Pretty Boys. And so it's easy to see why he went here. It's so sad to see.
Yeah. And Sam had a good point, because Sam was trying to tell him, listen, like, this guy's alliance has been a big thing. Everybody's been talking about it. If the guy's alliance isn't true, and if your loyalty is really with me, then I don't know, maybe you should try to do something here, make a big move. And like she said, take down somebody who has been coming after us, you know, for the past few weeks. Do something. This is a double eviction. It's a big moment. You know, take your shot. And I don't know. It's hard to say. At the end of the day, I feel like it isn't the worst move to take Eddie out here. Like, you know, like you guys are saying, Eddie's not somebody who was in Adam's corner 100%. Eddie wanted to be in Adam's corner, which is very unfortunate, because we know this from the past few days. Eddie has been saying, I would like Chelsea to stay so I could work with Chelsea, Adam, and Sam and take out some of these other people. But Eddie never really went to them and told them that. He was talking to Chelsea and said, if you can get the votes, you know, I'll go I'll vote with you guys and I'll see if we can do something next week or whatever. But he never talked to Adam and Sam about it. So Adam really had no way of knowing that this was sincere from him. And, you know, like Eddie also said after he got evicted, there's a little bit of a language barrier. It's not like, the pitch coming into the storage room was very like direct to the point and something that Adam could easily absorb and say, oh, I trust this guy. It was just a little awkward.
Yeah. And I loved Eddie apologizing for being boring because
I know
he's such a fan and he had like the expectations for himself going in and we all had those same expectations. And I think a lot of people were really loving Eddie at the start of the season. And then he did kind of fade away into the background. And like, he's such a fan that he recognized that. And he was like, I'm sorry, guys. I wish I could have done better, but this is so hard. And it's just like, oh man, like he's even self-aware. Why?
I know. Why I hated that. And that's another thing that's surprising to me. Like, Eddie was a number sitting there with nobody claiming him, nobody wanting to work with him. And I feel like, for example, our season, we definitely had people that were aware of that. And if they ever saw someone be alone on their own, like, they would try to get them as a number. Let's use Ryan, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, when his allies at home, I picked up on that right away. And I wasn't the only one. Johnny did, too. And we're like, this guy's on his own now. Like, let me get him as a number because you need that in this game. So it was always weird to me to see Eddie have such a hard time even getting one person. Like, I was really excited when him and Chelsea made that final too, but it just really seemed like no one wanted to work with this guy. And it definitely broke my heart. Cause as you said, I know that he had really high expectations of himself. And I know that it's way worse when you're self-aware. And I can say that as someone that came out and saw some things that were like, oh man, this is true. And it sucks when you like know it's true. It's almost, I feel like it's easier to just be like, ignorance is bliss. Like, you don't understand it. You don't get it. You don't believe it. It's whatever. But it's when you understand it fully that it really gets to you. And that's why I feel bad for him, because he knew that he didn't play the best game he could.
Yeah. Big Brother Canada 6 was like hungry, hungry hippos compared to this season.
Really, oh, just absolutely. Grabbing for
all of the lonely pieces. We're going to eat them all up. Yep. I remember like Marin too, where when Derek and Kayla went.
Yeah, and Kayla were like... Yeah, definitely. I remember any random odd person out that we found, we're like, come to my side. And
the tough thing about this season, I guess, for someone like Eddie is the fact that it's not just him that's in that position. You also have Damien, you have Corey, Kira to an extent, who are all kind of in those positions where they are not exactly tied to somebody. So you kind of think of those as somebody that you can pick out, which is also why I feel like going forward, just in terms of like the game, having one of those pieces removed at this point, like I felt the same way last season when Marin went out. And I mean, Ryan, I wasn't upset that Ryan made it to the jury and had like that extra piece floating around still. But when you had somebody like Marin or like Eddie go out at this point, it makes it like for the rest of the game, people have to pick a side. And like going forward, you have to make your move and there's nowhere to hide anymore if you get rid of these other players like the Eddies. So, you know, it's so heartbreaking to watch Eddie go out with the tears and everything. But in terms of the game, that's what I was trying to say. It might be a little bit better to make things pick up.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, this is definitely turning into, I think a lot of people are looking at this in the house like it is sort of a three-sided thing at this point, or maybe two-sided with some extras, whereas the Pretty Boys are probably looking at it as kind of three-sided. And then you have Sam and Kira, who are clearly recognizing that there's a guys thing going on, and they probably see like half of the picture in terms of like what the guys are up to and what they need to do about it. Like the biggest detriment in terms of Sam and Kira and their plans is that they also planned on taking Eddie out or targeting Eddie. So now that Eddie's gone, we might actually see a Sam or Kira win mean that two guys might end up on the block like Anthony and Dane. So that could be interesting. This HOH could be very important. We obviously Sam is still in trouble. As soon as Adam won, I was just like, Wow, Sam slides by another week. How long did she hold on?
I was jumping for joy. So excited. I think we need Sam to keep this entertaining here. I was happy.
Yeah. She's my number one draft pick, and I have a lot, like, riding on her.
You have a lot riding on her, yeah. There you go.
I mean, how, I really hope how so. Crazy would it be, Sam, who's had one foot out the door since, like, week two, because the Pretty Boys have been so obsessed with getting her out, is eventually the person who wins the HOH and takes one of the... Like, because she never had any intention of doing that back when they were so obsessed with getting her out. And all the way down the line, she's finally fulfilling their prophecy.
And I don't remember if you guys touched. Well, I don't think you touched it on this morning's update because it happened like this morning. But this morning, Sam was talking to Kira, Kiki, and to Esty, and they were talking about like, let's keep each other safe. If this guy's alliance is a thing, we kind of have to protect each other. So that's why it just made it all more important that Sam stayed in the house, because going forward, if the girls are going to have each other's back, that's what we need right now to have some kind of opposition to the Pretty Boys.
Yeah. To be clear, though, I don't think Esty and Kiki will stick to this deal at all. I think they'll
very, very debatable. That Esty goodbye message to Chelsea sent me to another planet, and I was not happy with that.
That's
like, oh, well, you thought you were doing something good by telling me to go after Dane, but that's a bad idea. Like, now you're evicted. What, Esty?
I get the Esty hate, but for me, the Kira goodbye message was way worse. Where again, they're placing the blame. I would have given up my game for you, Chelsea. And I was like, okay, you know, this is the typical like thing that they're doing, where they're really just being like martyring themselves. But then they go, but I don't feel like you would do the same for me. Like, just laying the guilt trip again in the goodbye message. Like, come on.
Right. Paris, did you do your goodbye messages any different when you knew it was pre-jury before? Like differently in the pre-jury people rather than the jury people?
Well, the thing that I've realized now, again, in retrospect with my game, is I was always... I was always planning on having a nice goodbye message to almost everybody, because I was even accounting for like a battle back of some sort. So my goodbye messages were never genuine, I feel like, unless it was someone that was really close to me that was like leaving, that was very heart like breaking for me. I feel like for the most part, I kind of knew like that's your chance to kind of, I'd noticed, especially in the US, like some people becoming favorites from like having like really like ruthless or like really funny goodbye messages. But to me, I never want to risk my game by doing that at all. So all my goodbye messages were very friendly. Even if it was someone I didn't like, it was always like, well, thank you so much for, you know, being part of my game. Like, you were awesome. Hope to see you. So I think, yeah, I was always keeping that in mind. But I know that after we kind of assumed that jury was starting, everybody's behavior would change towards the people leaving. Like, I know everyone would be like so friendly that day and like be like hugging them and be so friendly on their way out. But I definitely didn't notice that early on in the game. I think people were a lot more ruthless early on because they were like, they're not going to come back. Who cares?
Yeah. In Big Brother Canada, that's definitely the right call to just to be safe. Just always be safe, because you never know who's in the Blood Veto Lounge or whatever.
Yeah. Even with my, I feel like I probably didn't fulfill the thing that they wanted me to fulfill when they cast me, because I think they were expecting me to have like really exciting DRs, but I was even careful in my DRs. Like, I was even trying to be friendly with my DRs because I didn't know what was going
to
happen.
You
was
have
like,
to be.
They're going to pull some twist on me and they're going to try and show something. Or like one time we had a malfunction when we could hear the DR in the thing, and that's in the house. And that scared me so much. I'm like, imagine I'm in there and I'm like, I need Liv and Allie to go. And it like plays on the speaker. So I was very, very careful and like very friendly, I would say, in my DRs. But I
feel
know.
Like I remember that. It's like anytime that that players are in the house and like a DR leaks into the house, I feel like they're always like, oh, we're not supposed to hear this, like la la la, closing their ears, because I think most players tend to want to respect that, and you know, you wouldn't want it to happen to you. You know, that is definitely scary. And I feel like especially after the twist they did at the beginning of this season with the whole, you know, revealing everything they said, we are going in a really scary direction of possibly people not saying anything in the diary room anymore. But
yeah. And our season was post season 5 too. So like, I remember the sloth vote. Like, I remember all that and being like,
Yeah.
Well, you better be careful when you're there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were talking about your bio earlier, Paris, and it's just like people need to be careful of their bios and their preseason mm-hmm. interviews now, because yeah. that's all fair game at this
fair
point.
Fair game now.
Yeah. Don't lay out your strategy. Imagine if they had the chance to read Adam's bio, where he details that, hey, I want to be the Brigade 2.0. I want to get four guys and I want to get them attached to other people.
SD would go, no, it's fine. I'm sure we can just figure it out later. It's fine. No worries.
Wait, is Dane part of that? Yeah. Okay.
Dane's part of
good.
That. Okay. We're then good. Yeah. We're okay. Fine. No worries. It's yeah. fine.
So we also saw Chelsea leave 2 unanimous votes this episode, yes. which brutal for Chelsea and Eddie. But we saw Chelsea leave. Paris, what were your thoughts on Chelsea this season? Were you a fan of Chelsea?
Yeah, I definitely preseason. I really thought that she had one of the best game senses. She really impressed me in her interviews. She seemed like she knew when to bite her tongue. She knew, had a sense of what the game was going to be like. I really did think, and that's why I was actually a little bit disappointed that I chose Sam over her afterwards. I was like, did I make a mistake? Like, should I have picked Chelsea? Like, she's going to probably win this. And then I saw her game, like, deteriorate over time, especially with that HOH that she won. It was just, like, downhill from there. It kind of, I think, made me realize that she's definitely not as smart as she thinks in the game. Like, she doesn't have as big of a grasp as she thinks she does on this game. And she, you know, she thought putting Kaelin up was, or backdoring Kaelin was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Or the fact that, like, Big Brother 101, you put somebody on the block, they'll never forgive you. They will always come back for you. Always, always. You will never be okay in that house with someone who gambled with your life. You will never forget it. So for her to, for example, put Kiki up and then be like, well, we're good now, right? Like, we're good now, right? It's like, no, you're not, because you gambled with her life and Kiki's never going to be on your side. It's just the way it works. So I feel like that was kind of a bad HOH for her to win. I actually thought she was going to make it far until she won that HOH. And then it was just kind of like downhill for her from then on, I found. And she lost a lot of people close to her too. Like, I don't remember why it was that Anthony turned on her so bad. Do you guys know why that was?
Basically, Kira went to Chelsea during Chelsea's HOH and mm-hmm. said, hey, Anthony's kind of sketching me out. And it kind of turned on some light bulbs in Chelsea's head. Like, wait a minute, Anthony is kind of sketchy. He's kind of manipulative. Right. And so then Chelsea decided to go to Adam and say, hey, Adam, you feel like Anthony's really sketchy? I feel like Anthony's really sketchy.
Oh, that's what happened.
Adam, please don't tell anyone.
Please don't go tell your best friend the house. It's fine.
Yeah, so that did not help Chelsea's case here at all. And things just continued to crumble on the block next to Kira. She refused to throw Kira under the bus. I mean, this is not a problem that you had, Paris, when you were in trouble.
These are all things that it's so interesting now watching like another season after mine, because I'm so much more aware of how I was viewing things when I was playing. Because for me, I think one thing that was very different from me in Chelsea's game was, and if I went in again now, it wouldn't be like this. But when I first went in, I was like, I'm going to win at all costs. It doesn't matter to me. If Canada wants to hate me, it doesn't matter. And again, in retrospect, maybe like that's not the best way to look at it, but I was like, always win over being a favorite. Always. Like, I didn't care. I just wanted to get to the end no matter what. I just cared about winning. And I think with Chelsea, she cared so much about what people in Canada thought. And I think that Kaelin's speech also messed with her head a little bit, where she kind of got down on herself, like, yeah, you know, like, I'm not a bad person, so I'm not going to be campaigning because I don't like being manipulative and I don't like lying. And it's like, well, this is the game that you signed up for. And I think one piece of advice I could give to people that want to go on the show is, ahead of time, decide the kind of player do you want to be. Do you want to be playing for Canada? Do you want to be, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, make your big moves and you're probably going to get booted and you're still going to have people that love you. Or are you playing for yourself? Because if you're playing for yourself, then it doesn't matter if Canada thinks you're being manipulated. It doesn't matter. You campaign for your life. And I feel like she didn't, because she was not in the game anymore. Like, I feel like mentally she was ready to pack her bags and go so long ago, because she just cared so much what Canada thought. Like, Canada thinks we're dumb girls now. Now Canada mm-hmm. thinks that my HOH was a waste. Now Canada thinks that I'm a bad person for campaigning. And even in her campaign of trying to expose Kira, she was trying to make it seem like, oh, well, you manipulated me and you emotionally played with my feelings, and that's why it's okay for me to campaign for you. It's like, no, Canada's okay with you campaigning because it's part of the game. Yeah, like, we're not going to judge you for it.
There was something else, another connection that I sort of was thinking about in terms of, like, during your season, there were multiple times when you had this, like, contentious kind of relationship. I don't know if I'd call it contentious, maybe like off and on relationship with Kayla, where, mm-hmm. you know, you trusted each other and then you didn't trust each other, but then you pretended that you trusted each other.
It was all fake. And, so fake.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, you would discover that Kayla was doubting you and was, like, not trusting you, and your method usually was to go to Kayla and pretend that you trusted her and pretend that everything was totally cool. And that was, yeah. that was very successful for you. And now, so we saw Chelsea in a similar kind of spot where she is able to figure out that there's a guys alliance going on, and she holds on to this information for an entire week. She knew last Wednesday, and this thing that she did with Esty happened yesterday on Wednesday. And so I just want to, like, how do you think she should have handled knowing this from when she was HOH to on the block to, you know, almost going home? I have to imagine that there's a better way to use this information.
I would say it's definitely a few different things. Number one is when I was, you know, rewatching all the Big Brother seasons, US and Canada, before going in, what I really noticed over and over again was that laying those, you know, foundational grounds with the people in the house and having relationships early on is so important, because later on, when you need to campaign and you need things from them, that's the only way you're going to get it. You cannot start talking game to someone. You cannot start building relationships when you're on the block, because no one will listen to you. So I feel like that's part of where a lot of these players have gone wrong. They wanted to be big players and not play summer camp so bad that they didn't even spend time getting to know each other. So now it's really hard for some of them to believe that this relationship is genuine when you're on the block and you're just campaigning. So that was definitely part of it. The second thing is, I feel like unless it's a dance funeral kind of situation, last minute ditches are usually not successful. When you are, like, by the time you're telling your speech and people are about to go vote, they're most likely, unless it's a triple in BBCan 6, they've most likely decided on who they're sending home. So you got to be doing your campaigning way ahead of time. For her to hold on to that information, it's kind of like, well, thanks, but we're still going to send you home. I feel like she could have definitely used that, like, that information to her advantage. Talk to the girls. And, like, I don't understand why she was still so concerned with what the guys saw when her whole plan was to expose them. Like, she still kept being so concerned about what the aftermath was going to be if she exposed the guys. She still tried with the guys. And that's the part that I don't understand. It's like, take this information to people that are going to be receptive towards it. But again, at the same time, I feel like, you know, she did take it to, like, Esty and Kiki, and they weren't receptive. So a little bit of it was already a done deal, because Dane took the time to go get to know the girls, but Chelsea didn't. And that kind of came to bite her in the ass, you know?
Yeah,
She wasn't a very active player. And you saw that during her HOH week, the entire time she spent just having people come in the room and talk to people. She wasn't a house guest that week. She lived in the HOH room the entire week. People were just coming in, talking to her, and then it was a little business meeting, and then they'd go back out. So it wasn't like she was forming any genuine connections with people. It was just, I'll keep you safe, you keep me safe. And none of it even seemed sincere in the first place. Sam comes in and Sam tells Chelsea, listen, I found out this information. The guys might be together. And Chelsea is just like, oh, what? No, we're getting played. Like, oh no. And Chelsea, like, sits down all dramatically. And she's like, Sam, what do we do? And it just never felt like she was like she had a plan for the next step of what to do. It never felt like she wanted to take a step. She was just kind of maybe hoping that things would happen in her favor. I don't know. She wasn't making any kind of effort to make the progress. She was just kind of following a little bit of a game plan that she had in her head. And having it in your head and having it play out in the house are two obviously completely different things.
Yeah. And, like, the one person she never went to was Damien. And I feel like Damien is the one person that would have believed the thing because of the information he had and, like, what he knows about the guys. Eddie did try to go to Damien, but, like, without any proof, and Eddie had no credibility. And even then, Damien did try to investigate Eddie's claims. Eddie told Damien that Anthony and Dane tried to flip the vote to get him out last week. And he was like, no, I don't believe that. But then he spent the entire next day questioning people about it, and nobody backed it up. But I like, he didn't, she couldn't even say it in her speech so that Damien would hear. Like, Damien's still in the dark. He just needs to hear this information.
Have you ever been in a car and you step on the gas and you're like, oh shit, I didn't move anywhere, because you were in neutral and like the car just didn't move? Like, that's what Chelsea's past 2 weeks felt like. Like, anytime that she tried to go forward, she was like, holy crap, like nothing's happening, because she was not in the right gear to make things happen. So that's the analogy that popped into my head, so I wanted to share it.
No, that's good. And the thing is, super fans are usually, I would say, not the most interesting to watch, because they are so aware of, you know, the campaigns that work, or like the big moves that could cause your downfall. You know, they're so aware of these things that they don't want to be like so crazy out there making crazy game moves, because they know that that means they're going to get kicked off. But that's probably why it's nice to have like a mix of both and not just a bunch of casuals, because it's like these guys have never even seen a campaign strategy. Like, the fact that Chelsea was going around and being like, well, you should keep me because, like, I feel like I'm, like, not adaptable, but, like, now I've learned to adapt to this, and now I've learned that, you know, I can't be so stiff, or, like, now I've learned that people lie. It's like, how is that a campaign strategy? Like, you got to be coming up with something that you want there to be something in it for the people keeping you. Like, how is you now having learned after 4 weeks in the game to be adaptable, helping other people? Like, why would they keep you in the game?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, the only piece of information that she had that could help her was this guy's alliance, and I feel like she didn't use it at all. She kind of just like, do I call a house meeting, do I not, do I go for it, do I not? And it's like, that was time that you could have spent campaigning, and no one's gonna be listening to you when you're on your way out. They're already thinking about the next HOH.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, I think that when you have a cast mostly full of super fans, like season 6, you end up getting people who would love to play a low-key game, but can't, because everyone is playing so well that you have to go crazy. And that's what made Big Brother Canada 6 so exciting. I personally think it's the mix that ends up, you get this sort of thing where, you know, there are some people that are playing really well and some people that are like, hey, Dan, take me to the end.
But do you think that these guys would be nearly as good? Like, do you think the Brigade 2.0 or like Pretty Boys would be nearly as good on a different season? I just feel like it's because these people like don't know what's going on. Like, no one on this season has really, really like watched or really studied Big Brother. And I feel like the only person that sometimes has a decent like read on the house even early on was the non-binary Kira, and she doesn't get listened to at all. So yeah. It's like,
I've been talking to Matt Hoffman, and we plan on doing a podcast at some point during the season, preferably after the Pretty Boys fail, if they fail, to talk about the Brigade and the difference between the two and what made one work and one not work, or what made them both work, or whatever it is. I really want to get to the bottom of that with Matt at some point, and he's totally on board. He's been enjoying. I don't want to say enjoying. He's been watching the Pretty Boys. He was he posted a picture of the Pretty Boys posing in front of the camera, and he was like, Taryn, it's so weird. It's so similar. It's crazy.
Do we know which one he thinks he is?
Hold on, I can bring up the text.
I'm sure he's thought about it by now.
I'm sure. Yeah. He loves the A. Like I said, maybe you have doppelgangers. He said gay A angers. and I think it was Kirsten that called them the what was it, the brigade.
The Brigade
works a lot better when it's typed out.
Yeah. I don't know. Either way,
you're out here with the dad jokes. Yeah. Oh man,
what can you do? He said if Adam and Andrew switched spots, then the pictures would line up. So I don't have the picture in front of me, but if you go look at the picture, then you can see.
It works well on an audio podcast. Here,
it does. It works amazing. Amazing. Don't question it. Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to take you to the end. I'm telling you, this is a great audio podcast. Just Believe me. So now here we are. We've lost Chelsea. We've lost Eddie, and we are heading into this next HOH. And there are all kinds of different things that can happen here, because theoretically, Mark still may take a shot. And if he takes a shot, I imagine that he would probably put Anthony and Dane, because that's how you might get Dane out of the house. But even then, I think that would be a very close vote. We also have Sam and Kira, who may take a shot at the guys. And I really feel like all it takes to demolish the Pretty Boys is get two of them on the block at the same time. Especially if those two are Dane and Anthony, that blows everything wide open. The whole game would change at that point. But then you have people like Kiki and Esty, who would probably go after Sam. You have the whole house, really.
Everybody would go after Sam. This is like the most hope that I've had. Like, Adam is currently the HOH, or outgoing HOH, so he can't compete. Dane can compete. Anthony can compete. And now we know that Mark is obviously has like a little bit of a different agenda coming up. So this is like the most hope that I think we possibly could ask for, that only two of them are able to go for this next HOH, and the other one is possibly going to do something different. So if there's going to be a week, hopefully it's this one, but I'm sure feeds are going to come back to Dane winning in the room again.
So there are 10 people in the house. There are 9 people competing for the HOH. I think 3 of them would go for the guys, maybe. And then the other 7 would probably target Sam, and probably something along the lines of Sam and Adam on the block and Sam leaving. But
the blood veto's coming.
There's a small chance of Kira leaving as well, if Sam wins a veto or something along those lines. So watch out for that. But yes, we also were hinted given a hint about the blood veto, and that the house guests are going to see the lounge, and the veto will be revealed. I don't know if that means it's going to come into play. Maybe, probably, I guess. Why show them if it's not going to do something? But I would have said the same thing about the first 2 times Damien was shown the veto. So I don't know, Paris. What do you think about this?
Is it too early for the blood veto? I don't know. I feel like they might just give us like a little like.
I'm ready for it. I'm sick of seeing them with the papers too, and everything. Like, I'm done with that room that we don't know what's going on in there. Something needs to happen with that corner of the house already.
Go ahead.
It's well, yeah. I mean, usually when they hint, it's like when the big twist of the season, the blood veto. That's usually the thing that's like, in the Brittany and Sarah get out Bruno spot, right? Like, final 6 or whatever it was, 7. So I feel like we have a couple more weeks here, but who knows?
I think I could see it in a couple of weeks, because I feel like it's not even right after the double, but I don't know. As a player, I feel like I really hate outside influences like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like it completely just changes the dynamic of the game. Like, I would be so upset if I was in season 3, I feel like. But, you know, I'm like a fan of, like, Sarah and Brittany. Like, I enjoyed it. I really liked that they got a chance to fight back. But it's like, I'm not a fan of it as a player. But if it helps, you know, so my faves stay in the game and go against the Pretty Boys, I'm all for it. I do feel like it's going to be similar to what season 3 was. Like, I feel like you might be able to get yourself off the block and then name the replacement nominee potentially. And I don't know, I guess we'll see.
I saw a tweet from Tom Palmer, who is a great, great fan of the show, who said, "My official guess on the blood veto is that it will remove a nominee and then there will be no replacement. Remaining nominee will be automatically evicted."
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's like a little mix of backwards week and just like a special view. I don't know.
I could see that, because it gets blood on your hands. You're basically the sole vote to evict.
Damn, Tom.
It's a good theory.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. In terms of timing, I do think it's probably going to be like, maybe somebody gets it this week and then it's good for the next 2 weeks. Because last season, when right after the double, after Hamzo left, I don't know if it was the next week or the week after, is when the Canada Saves thing came into play.
We don't talk about that on this podcast.
No, we definitely do not want to talk about that. But just because we kind of maybe have to talk about it for a second, this was the time that it happened. And it was a 2-week long thing. It could have happened in one or the other. And, you know, the triple, I'm assuming, is still going to happen. And then that would be in like 3 or 4 weeks from now. So this does seem like the spot they might want to introduce it.
We talk
Is there enough people for a triple?
I don't know. They started with slightly less, right? They usually One go less, 16. Yeah. And last season they did, it was 16. And so then we had a regular double.
Paris, yeah, let me test your knowledge. What day was Hamza evicted last season? You remember this stuff?
Day 27.
Okay, today's day 26, I want to say, right? Taryn, you would have that written down somewhere.
Yesterday was day 26. Today was day 27.
So we might be on the same exact schedule.
So, but we have one less person.
Less house guest. Okay, yeah.
So
I don't know why. I know triple was day 55.
I just wanted to see if she still remembered her days.
I feel like we might not have a triple. I feel like that's the right
call. Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't always trust them to make the right call, but I do feel like they've had one twice in a row. And I mean, I think one of the weaker points of season six was everybody talking about the triple endlessly,
which you have to do, stressful.
Right? Because you see it coming and you're like, wow, the triple, we got to prepare for it because it's so dangerous. But it's very frustrating to have to watch people like just always talk about the triple.
DR was mad at us. Like, you guys say triple one more time. Like, they were so upset with us because that's all we talked about. They'd be so like, it's like week four, like, how's it going in there? And I'm like, well, we have a triple coming up in a month. And they're like, no.
Every deal, and you guys had so many like different groupings of people that were in like pairs of two or three or so, like you, Maddie, and Will. Obviously, you had the Ding Dongs, and I guess Johnny kind of tied a little bit to them. You had Dayla, so everybody was like trying to make deals to protect each other for the triple. But it was like, how do you protect an entire grouping of people and not, you know, it was fun. It was hard to plan for, I would say.
Yeah,
it was messy.
Speaking of the Canada Safe thing, though, I was reminded recently, because we always talk about like how Erica got screwed, right? But I forget about how ridiculous that situation was, where not only was Erica screwed, though, but like, this was a twist meant to save like a fan favorite, and Ryan ended up getting saved and Erica left. Like, that was it was the most backfiring twist I think we've ever seen on the history of the show. It's so crazy to me that like Erica was like the top of the polls at the time. It's crazy.
Oh yeah.
Well, it backfired on the audience because the audience was hating Kayla in that episode and sympathizing with Ryan because Kayla was the HOH. And then they turned it around and helped Kayla make a much better move for her game.
I remembered that Erica got screwed. I forgot that it was like completely unintentional. It's just ridiculous.
But honestly, I told Erica this when we were talking a few days ago because this came up and she's like, yeah, I still can't like tell you how crazy that experience was. And I told her, I said, you either die a hero or you live long enough to become a villain. And I said to her, you are a favorite. You left at such an ultimate high. You were the definition of robbed in the way that you left. Mm-hmm. You will undoubtedly be back for another season. Everyone loved you. And the thing is, I feel like if she stayed for a little bit longer, I could see people turning on her because people don't like when someone's in power for too long. Yeah. So I told her, I said, don't worry about it because you're going to be brought back for another season. You left as a favorite. And I feel like if she was there for a lot longer, people might have started to turn against her.
Your relationship with Erica was one of the most underrated parts of like your early game. The fact that you were so close with her and she didn't want to go after you when so many people were telling them that she should take you out at that time.
All right, Matt. All right. Let's calm down.
No, we did talk about this though. Like, we talked about how Erica told me this even a few days ago. We're talking. She's like, I literally was not touching you till the end. Like, I was taking you to the end with me. And like, that's another thing that was like,
Erica's still playing the game.
I know, right? No, I'm happy that the Feasters see it. So like, I am so eternally grateful for it. But that's part of what doesn't get shown on TV too. It's like, for example, my relationship with her, or like the fact that they tried to portray it as like me and like Olivia being like against each other. But it's like, me, Liv, and Allie were tight. Like, me and Liv talked all the time in the house. And it's like, even if we were like gunning for each other at certain points, our relationship was very strong. And these are just things that like don't make it to the editing. But yeah, me and Erica's relationship, I would say it was definitely an underrated one.
Mm-hmm. So
the feuding. Oh, sorry, guys.
So you've been on the show now, right? And so it's been a year. A lot of former house guests tell me that it's very different watching the show after you've been on the show. Are you able to enjoy the season? I mean, I don't know. Removing the pretty boys from the equation, are you able to enjoy the season like you might have previously?
If you want me to be honest with you, I think that having gone on Big Brother in a way ruined Big Brother for me. Like I legit got like chills and started like sweating, having a really hard time with BB20. And I thought maybe it's too soon, but it's not that. It's like, even with BB Can now coming out, it's just a very different game. Like when you're a fan of the show, it's, you come from a different place. And then when you're inside there and then you come out and you see the comments and you see how it was portrayed and you see how difficult it actually is being in there versus what people see on the outside, like your whole view of the thing changes. And then you of course see like how the insider stuff works too, so it makes it a little less interesting for you. And then you have your little personal bias in there, which again kind of ruins it. There's a lot of things that are different. Like I would never ever miss a season of BB Can, but like I haven't seen season 6 because like I can't watch that. Like I can't imagine. Do it. It's so
what do you need to watch?
Hard.
You were there.
I know, exactly. Well, it's so hard. You don't want to, you just know that a lot of times that's not even how things went down either. And oh, you're yeah. like, I get it. Because they have season. Like, yeah, like I get it. They have like sponsorships that they have to, you know, put in the show. They have all these other things that they have to do, games, Hasbro, whatever, Wendy's. But like, it's just a very different game. And especially that first week of feeds too, man, that's something that needs to be improved because that first week feeds is really a big indicator of what goes on.
Here's what you should do, Paris. You should yeah. go back and I don't know if we have this, probably not, but if we can find it, we need to get the full archives of the live feeds for Big Brother Canada 6, and you should just watch those for the next 70 days.
Yeah.
And then that. You'll be able to experience what we did. It's a great season on the feeds.
Man, I'm way more choked for Johnny than I'll ever be for myself or anybody else in the game because fair. week after week, but I mean, it is what it is.
So who are you liking this season? Who are you liking? Who are you rooting for?
It's always for me, my faves always go home very early. My favorites are usually not the best players. But I will say with this season, man, it's been really hard to like keep rooting for the same people. I think I started out, yeah, right? I started out being a huge fan of, I would say like Damien, SD Kiki, Sam. Who else? I'm trying to think who else.
Did you like Mackie? I think you liked Mackie.
Oh, yes, Mackie, I had to, you know, like, he's my Persian bro, like, I had to. I liked Eddie, too. I thought, like, he was going to be playing, like, similar to me. Like, I thought he really wanted to be underestimated. He wanted to be like, oh, I'm, like, this goofy guy, like, you know, but I feel like he really lacked in building those relationships. I would say over time, SD and Gigi have let me down just a little bit with how they're gaming. It's been hard to keep rooting for them when, you know, I feel like I was one of the people to defend them and say like they're not playing summer camp, but it's like it's 4 weeks in and it feels like you are playing summer camp because you're not going out of your way to talk to other people, you're not going out of your way to, you know, make big moves. But I am proud of Kiki for winning the veto today and getting herself off the block, so that's good. Maybe the fact that she's been put on the block a couple of times now will get her to start playing. But I have to give credit to the pretty boys, you know, as much as I don't love steamrolls and, you know, I'm definitely like, I love rooting for girls too. I don't love them, but they are playing a good game. Like they have each other's backs. It seems like you guys think that Mark actually is going to target the rest of them. Is that the case? Because I don't know.
I mean, he's been saying it on the feeds. He's been alluding to it on the feeds a little bit by himself. He now has said it in the diary room, too. It's just like it's such a terrible move for him because his only connections in the house are the pretty boys. Everybody else hates him. The only thing keeping him afloat in the game is his connection to the pretty boys, and he wants to blow it up. It's literally like it's line for line a Cindy move to just like go after the pretty boys.
That's why I'm like, he seems like he is decent at the game. That's the thing. I don't know. But Corey impressed me. I think Corey, I'm definitely, you know, rooting for her. I think that I want her to again, do a little bit more. Same with like Damien, like love the guy. I absolutely love what he stands for, but I want to see some more gaming from him. Who else? Sam is honestly all the hope I have left at this point for anyone taking a show the Pretty Boys. Like, I know I never thought I would say that, but like, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, is like, I will stand Chelsea's. I will stand Sam to no end if she really does do that. I know that Anthony does a lot. He does a lot, but I don't know if I missed it, but I don't get why everyone's really mad at him and really doesn't like him. I think he's okay. Who else do we have? Overall, I feel like...
Kaylin, were you a big Kaylin fan?
Yes and no. I was hoping for her to...
I don't know how you would have played with the Kaylin, because you didn't have one. The older house guest you had was like Ryan, and obviously and Ryan had a good relationship. But Kaylin was a lot more difficult. That I don't know if you would be able to have gotten her on your side, or just somebody you would have been able to connect with.
Well, go ahead about Kaylin.
No, I don't even remember. Go ahead.
You asked about Anthony. I enjoy Anthony personally because he's just like, he's something that I feel like we haven't seen a lot of in recent years, which is just like a fully unrepentant villain, where he's literally just like laughing at people's misery and just like really just enjoy and being totally warped by the power that he holds in the house. But I've done this on the live feed update. I want to give you just a taste of what it's like talking to Anthony sometimes. So basically what you need to do, Paris, you need to appreciate Anthony in the house is you need to understand that you are Paris, you are a lion and I am a lion. And as lions, we can only appreciate each other. You cannot appreciate other people in the house. That's what you need to do, Paris. Right. And so as lions, we need to build our castle. You cannot build that castle in sand, Paris. You need to build that
Anthony,
castle.
I'm going to need you to stop, Anthony.
Nobody says that to him.
I know. Now I remember. I went back. I was wondering. I keep forgetting this. I asked this question to somebody else like a few days ago, too. And they're like, have you seen how he talks to people? I'm like, people are going to get real tired of that real quick, which I guess people already have. But
they love it in the house.
Not Kiki and Esty. They're attached to him. They're like, yeah, we love talking to Anthony. He makes us feel so good.
They're like, oh, man, when he talks about castles, it blows my mind.
How big of a stretch, something that I've been wondering, how big of a stretch is it to compare Anthony a little bit to Dr. Will? Is there any kind of just in terms of like the evil villain, every time that like Anthony turns to look at the camera and he gives those looks when someone walks out of the room and he just has that smirk on his face. I just feel like the evil doctor vibes and it makes me think that, you know, I think people talk all the time about how Will would not be as beloved as he might be now if he played today. Yeah. So I feel like
cancer.
That might be something that we're seeing with Anthony. I feel like Anthony, if he played, I don't know. There's just like something there. I don't know if I'm stretching it too thin or not, but I felt it a little.
I've made the Derek comparison a while ago. I still feel like his game is a little bit Derek-esque. He's to me like what Derek would have been if he didn't know the game beforehand and went mad with power and like owned everything that he was doing a lot more. So I feel like that's probably for me the closest one. Maybe in the sense that like they're both villains, but I think they're probably better villains.
In terms of like personality, like I'm not talking gameplay. I'm not saying that Anthony's on like the level of gameplay that Dr. Will was on. I'm just saying in terms of like being that villainous character, I feel like we haven't had that many times across history, I guess. So it just reminds me of the evilness.
I can see it now. Anthony saying half Pumbaa, half lion. that's what I'll do. All right. Man, I was really hoping that the feeds would start kicking in before we started to wrap up, because I want to talk about the HOH.
I know, me too. Nothing yet.
Nothing yet. Oh man, all I see is Godfrey Manguiza. Such a waste of a double. How are you going to evict my guy Eddie? Oh, Godfrey always right. Oh man,
Godfrey was in the audience tonight along with Maddie, with Bruno, with Bobby. I think Veronica.
Yeah,
I had a big party there.
Well, we were talking about Kiki and Esty. I want to be clear, in case you haven't watched the live feed updates and you just watched this episode and you saw Chelsea pitch to Esty this idea of like, hey, there's a guy alliance. You obviously saw in the goodbye message that Esty was like, nah, I'm not about that. You can't be going against Dane. What happened was, basically, as soon as Chelsea told Esty, Esty went straight to Dane and was like, hey, are you in a guy alliance? And Dane was like, what? Nah. And she was like, okay, good. And so,
yeah, because that's the first thing you should do when you find that kind of information is go to the person, ask them if it's true. Sorry, keep going.
Well, that's basically what happened. And then this morning, they both went to Kiki and they're like, guess what Chelsea tried to do? She tried to tell us that there's a guy alliance. Isn't that crazy, Kiki? And Kiki was like, yeah, that is crazy. Eddie needs to go. Wait, what?
What?
That's the annoying thing. That's like that, you know, we talked about maybe this is like okay for Adam that he did this, but the fact that it was such a that it was a unanimous vote to get Eddie out of the house, it didn't seem like, you know, of course we didn't see the entire however long it was before the eviction, but it didn't seem like there was much opposition to getting him out. It seemed like Adam was saying, you know, I hope we all agree that this is what we want to do here and take Eddie out. But you would think that somebody like Kiki or Esty would think that Eddie is more valuable for their game than Kira is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
That's just I guess they're just, I don't know, they're playing scared.
Yeah,
I really didn't get the logic with them evicting Eddie though, just because like Kira has been decently like vocal about the fact that like, I know what you guys are doing. Like sometimes like she'll have those moments they'll have those moments where Kira, the non-binary Kira, it's so confusing. Can we have two different I wish they don't.
And they don't even say Kiki on the episode.
That's the worst.
That's what I mean.
That's the worst part. Her name is Kiki for everyone in the house, except for Mark, who sometimes calls her Keeks. Not cute, Mark.
Because I'm constantly being like, Kira, like the non-binary Kira, or like the regular kid. I don't want to say it like that. You know what I mean? But then I confuse them all the time. It's so hard.
I don't know why they insist on it. Like, it's literally like, I'm nominating you, Kiki. And then Arissa is like, so Kira is on the block. It's like, why?
Next to Kira. Anyways. I just didn't understand it at all. Because like, Kira, the non-binary Kira, has been decently vocal. Like, went to Adam and was like, are you pulling some moves? Like, goes to different people and actually like voices the fact that they have a read on the house, but like they still choose to keep Kira over Eddie, who has nobody, who is not like, it's this amazing social player that if they get to the end, everyone's going to vote for them. And then you still have the half of the house that could use him as a number. I really didn't understand.
Yeah, why I felt for Eddie. I felt for Eddie. He had a long talk with Corey. I don't know if it was last night or the night before. I think it was last night, where he was talking to Corey about how it's hard to be the minority in the house, especially he was talking about it from the Asian perspective. Like I don't know how many Asian contestants there have been, but he was talking about at least two or three that have gone out pre-jury. And he's like, he was afraid. He was like, I don't want that to be me, but I feel like I'm not connecting with people. It's not as easy for me to connect with people. Yeah. People look at me and I'm different. And it was really touching to hear him talk about it. And, you know, Corey was trying to be as sympathetic as she could be, but I mean, he's not wrong. It's obviously, you know, look at the first five boots or so here. It's there's something in common.
Yeah. And part of why I think the guys preferred to see Eddie leave over Kira is that Eddie was caught kind of campaigning for Chelsea a little bit. Just kind of going against the grain. And so I think that's part of it. And then also they're so not threatened by Kira because they're so bad at competitions. Whereas Eddie came very close to winning that, that double eviction HOH. And oh, if he had just won.
Eddie. No, you're right. That makes sense. That gives me a little bit more of an idea of why they would, because I was honestly really surprised. But you're right. He did try to campaign for Chelsea and he has come decently close. I think he came close in another competition.
The first
too,
one.
Right?
Yeah, against Dane.
The early one. Yeah. So I guess I understand.
He just didn't have anybody who felt connected with him enough to put their neck on the line and say, we want to keep Eddie here. We talked about this on some updates, you know, over the past, however long. He kind of took his foot off the gas. He wasn't really doing a whole lot as his friends were all getting evicted. I tweeted this. It's kind of sad. The past few weeks, all of Eddie's friends get evicted. And then, you know, kind of closing the chapter here with Eddie going out right after them. We had Mackie, Kaylin, and Chelsea all had a good relationship with Eddie in his time in the house. Yeah. And now Eddie's following them out the door.
It honestly, I think, goes to show just how difficult the game is, though. Like, I really can't stress that enough. Even now, I feel like as someone that's sitting on the outside and sitting here and judging these guys' gameplays, it is so incredibly difficult. Like, it is so easy to be on this side of it and be like, well, why didn't you build more relationships? Or like, well, why did Chelsea do this with her HOH? Or like, why are these, you know, why are SC and Kiki not going against the guys? It's just so much easier said than done. Like, I know being in that situation, it's a really hard game. It's definitely the most difficult thing that I've done in my life by far.
I definitely felt for Eddie, like, you know, being in a house with, you know, 14 other people that have vastly different life experiences than you do.
Yeah.
Who have a different culture, who, you know, they're, you know, you even like have a little bit of trouble communicating with them on the same level that they're able to communicate with each other. Add on top of that, that like Eddie is not like the most social guy to begin with, that he has been kind of shy in the past. And like, I think he did an admirable job given, you know, where he started. Right. But you know, It is how things play out usually. And, you know, when we usually say like, oh, the older person is usually not going to do particularly well, it's less that like older people are just bad at the game and more that they are an outlier. And when you are different from the people around you, you are going to go in with disadvantages because it's so much easier for everyone else to just bond because of their similarities. So it's unfortunate. And that's why I wanted Eddie to get some power, so he could get a foothold in the game. But
So close.
The one thing also that people don't realize is in order to be cast for Big Brother, you have to, like, they do so many different types of like testings and psych testings and written and verbal and all these different kinds of testing. And it's not to figure out whether or not you're going to win the game of Big Brother. It's always to figure out if you are going to be the last person in the house, are you still going to be able to entertain a whole country? So they don't care about anything else. They don't care how well you're going to do in the game. They care, are you entertaining or are you not? And so they try and cast people that are so inherently good at speaking to other people and making conversation that it was even difficult for someone like me. And I feel like I'm someone that's decently social, that I feel like has a good time and an easy time talking to other people. And I even felt like the first 3 or 4 days, I couldn't even get my 2 cents in with these people on my cast because they were all so talkative and they were all like so good at, you know, talking basically, and so good at keeping the conversation going and like just had so much confidence to just put themselves out fully. And even me, again, I'm a social person, and I feel like the first 3-4 days, like, I was struggling to even get any words in because these people are so crazy entertaining themselves. So I don't blame Eddie for having a hard time fitting in with these guys when, like you said, they talk about hockey and hookups and partying, and what is he supposed to say? It's so hard to get in, you know what I mean? And relationships form so fast that if you're left out the first few days, it's kind of hard to come back from that.
Yeah. So I want everyone to know I will be speaking with Chelsea and Eddie tomorrow for their exit interview. I believe I will be talking to both of them at the same time, and we'll have about 10 minutes to talk. So it'll be a fast one, but I'm really looking forward to talking with both of them. So make sure you check that out tomorrow. I definitely have some questions to ask Chelsea, and I want to make sure Eddie's okay.
Yeah, just give him all the love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, make sure you tune in for that. And then you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Paris, how can people find you if they want to find out, you know, what you're doing, what you're up to?
Well, I tweet a lot about Big Brother on my Twitter, which is Paris_Atashnak. I post some cute pics on my Instagram at Paris Atashnak. And then, once in a while, I post a little something like a video on YouTube about Big Brother, and that's just under Paris.
There you go. I see. I recently joined Instagram, and I feel like I was doing a good job, but now I've run out of ideas. So
Instagram is definitely not the one I'm good at either. So yeah. I'm very inconsistent on there. I'll be like gone for 3 months and I'll post 5 pics and I'll be gone for like another 4 months.
There you go. luckily I have a cat, so that helps. But
yeah, we got three cat people in one podcast.
Boom.
Oh my God. I just made an Instagram account for my cat and I'm
why didn't you plug that one?
I should. Okay, it's Pico Bear.
All right.
E Bear. Actually, go follow my cat.
I will go follow it.
That's all that we care about on this podcast. Don't you don't have to follow.
Yeah. Wait, are feeds on?
Yes,
something going on.
Feeds have come back. So we're gonna let you guys know where to find everyone. You can find Matt at Matt Liguori on Twitter, and he also does the some power rankings for Big Brother, and you do a sort of new thing for Survivor, right?
I'm on my second season of doing my Survivor 3-2-1 blog.
Yes.
Just going over the Survivor players, top three, bottom two, someone to keep an eye on. Check that out if you want. And I haven't been doing the Big Brother rankings as much this season on the blog form, but I've still been posting them on Twitter. So follow along if you are not.
Did you come up with the 3-2? I thought you came up with that. Is that not a new thing?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not brand. It's the second season of it.
But, all right.
Yeah.
So the feeds are back. So if you don't want to be spoiled, now is the time to bounce out. I hope you guys enjoyed the lovely Paris who is here, and we're very grateful that she's here to talk with us about the double eviction, and make sure you let her know how much you enjoyed seeing her on the podcast. And we've got some spoilers. So if you don't want to know the spoilers, now's the time to leave. Bye. We love you.
Bye. Thank you.
And, Melissa isn't here to sing it. All right.
Yeah. Shout out to Melissa. Wish she was here. We miss you, girl. I had such a good time with her last time.
There you go. She was in the chat.
Friendly. Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't. I don't know if she's here anymore, but she was. All right. So we have some spoilers. As far as I know, we still don't know who the HOH is. So that's unfortunate. But the lounge is open and people are just like chilling in there, hanging out. There's the blood veto is just there, just hanging out.
Marcia, is it in the room?
Yeah, they're in there
with them.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And so they know it's a thing. That's
kind of crazy. Yeah,
that's different. When's the last time? I don't know. That's weird.
I can't believe they had a secret room with a secret power in it. And then they just opened the door.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird. Oh, see, okay, so one thing while we're still looking at this stuff, Paris, that I wanted to ask.
Yes.
Last season, did you guys, like, how much time, I guess, personally, did you spend thinking there might have been some kind of secret room? Because it's obviously a Big Brother Canada thing. And I remember Ryan poking around at things, but did you, like, invest a lot of thought into thinking that might exist?
Oh, yeah. And I like even was getting up like late at night to go explore and then was getting called out to go back to bed because I was like pushing on like every door. I almost like broke like the styrofoam on one of the doors because I could see that there was like a thing for the door. Like you could see the cutout for the where the door is, but it wouldn't open. But it's like so dependent on who they want to find it anyways. Like if they don't want you snooping around, like they tell you to stop like almost immediately. Right. So I think that I spent a long time wondering just because like I was really hoping for some kind of veto, some kind of advantage.
Do we know if this room is where the winner's room was, whatever that was, the when all the winners came back? That wasn't the nomination room, was it?
No, I think there's I think it might be the room that I'm talking about that was closed off for our season.
Oh, okay.
I think there's just different rooms that are kind of covered. I think this might be a little different thing out there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Rooms everywhere.
I'll let you know if I go see it inside of it.
Okay.
I'm wondering if they haven't even played the HOH because I don't know. Maybe they just had a big segment about the lounge and how they're
Well, it's been an entire half a day since the filming ended.
It's true. But no. Nobody's.
Yeah,
nobody's
it's usually right away too. I think
they have to have a new HOH.
Actually, no. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not right away.
Yeah, especially because the double and they had to set up the first HOH and then the veto, so they might want to make a new set up for the next
downtime
digital age.
In that house is ridiculous.
Yeah. So now they all know.
Yeah.
Now they all know that there's a blood veto. So I don't even know what that's going to do. It's not like.
I feel like it's going to make people more hesitant to make big moves anyways, because they're going to be like, well, I don't want to put this person back or on the block if they're going to come back to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, and Adam said, now it's weird that we can all be in here, so it's not secret.
Yeah. Well, not wrong.
Now we have another room for them to just wander around aimlessly, like the paper room, the archive room.
Yeah.
Question for you guys. What do you think about this whole be voted to have a bed in the have-not room? You think it's going to have something to do with this veto? Like, oh, this one person that gets a bed also gets the veto. Or no, it's completely unrelated.
Like, do we think like the key for the box going to be inside the pillowcase or something? Like you just sleep one night and.
I don't know. I'm just thinking back to like how Sarah and Brittany were have nots, but I don't know. I just don't really understand. Like that would, if that's the only perk of it is having a bed, then that's a terrible, terrible perk.
Yeah, it has to be something.
I might as well just, say goodbye to my game, because now I'm going to be hated by my fellow house guests because Canada voted for me, and not even for a power, not even for a veto, to have a bed. Like, that's...
Yeah, can we set this up so there's a vote happening, and we're voting for somebody to get a bed in the have-not room. That's the vote.
Yeah, like, I don't
And it could be anyone? What if they're not a have-not?
So... Yeah. Paris, who should we vote for? Who should we give it to?
I don't want to give it to Damien just because I don't want to ruin his game. But it's like, I feel like people might do that.
Yeah, I don't know if we have any say in it, actually.
Yeah, true. Like, like we got Kirsten in the house.
I mean, if it is just getting a bed and Damien gets the bed.
It's never just getting a bed.
Bye, Damien.
That's what I mean. Like, what is it?
But yeah. Like, why would they trick us?
Like, tell me what I'm doing.
We spent an entire season last year thinking someone was going to pop out of the tomb, and that never happened. So it could just be a bed. I don't know.
But like, they want interaction. They want like engagement from the audience. They'd be ruining the droves of people that would come to vote on a blood veto by having a bunch of people ignore this bed question that nobody cares about. So I feel like it would be kind of silly to go about it that way.
I don't even want to vote for anyone, but I feel like I should. I don't even know what the repercussions are. I feel like there's going to be something.
Yeah, I never vote.
At least Kira with the Y has a place that they can go sleep now without bothering anybody else. If they might. They happen to be a have not. They have their own bed.
Man, let's be real.
I think try to be optimistic. Well, I really do think, I mean, I do think that there's a chance Kira possibly could have their game pick up a little bit now that Chelsea's out of the way, because they were talking about, you know, Chelsea's a big distraction for me, and they were speculating that they might do better with Chelsea gone. So I don't know. I got a little bit of hope for that, maybe.
If Kira says that they're going to be better with Chelsea not around, then I'm inclined to believe that Kira will be worse with Chelsea not around, because I'm inclined to believe the opposite of everything that Kira says at this point.
No, fair enough. And I feel like, I don't know, Kira, I feel like was feeling kiki at the beginning, then moved on to Chelsea. I just feel like their head is not even in the right space right now. Like, with Chelsea gone, you could totally see them moving on to, like, SD now. Because I know they were getting close, too. So I just feel like it's just so important to have your head in the game. Like, you can't be there, like, enjoying your crush. Like, it's just not...
Well, once you get to that Wendy's window, you make sure that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Man, so I was really hoping we could get some HOH talk.
I know.
We could keep stalling if you want to.
I mean, we're trying to stall here, but you know, we can't stall forever. I'm getting some very, very early unsubstantiated rumors here that perhaps Esty has won. I'm seeing from Stacked saying Esty has the HOH key necklace. So
that sounds like Esty is the winner. Right?
Maybe the case here.
Damn, Esty. Okay, Bish. All right.
So, all right. Let's. This
but
could
let's
be,
not.
Could be
I was
totally
not.
Wrong.
I'm scrolling the hashtag. I don't really see anything about that, but.
Yeah. So, again, so you know, not any confirmation at this point, but yeah. But let's imagine that SD won.
That's something to do.
What does SD do here? Because nothing. She was planning on targeting Eddie. Eddie is now gone. She was also obviously planning on targeting Sam. So I imagine what's happening here is SD puts up Sam and Kira. That seems like the logical.
I don't think so, honestly. Really? I don't think so. I think.
Why not?
I think. If anything, if SD is going on the same plan, I think that they're going to that she's going to go with Kira and Adam. I think especially now that Adam just nominated Kiki, they have all the reason in the world. They've never had a good relationship with Adam. And they might say, oh, yeah, we're planning on backdooring Sam. Like Anthony's going to say, do this and we'll backdoor Sam if we can, whatever. But I think I don't know the conversation this morning. Maybe I'm just falling for, you know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I misread it, but I felt like the girls were kind of getting on the same page that they can't go after each other right now.
I mean, it directly contradicted what she had just talked about with Dane about.
Well, no, I just felt like Essie did not want Chelsea in the house. Like she very much did not want Chelsea to stay. And you know, that DR or the goodbye message was like, you know, awful and whatever. But I still, I don't know. I just feel like there's something that that Sam might not be your target if she was the HOH, which we don't even know.
Yes. Now we're hearing rumors that maybe Sam is HOH.
All right. What would Sam do?
I would love to see her take a shot at the pretty boys.
That could definitely happen. I'm also seeing Mark saying to Dane, I want you to hear it from me. I've said a lot of crap about you to the cameras, and it's all BS. There was a day you were really mad at me. Sorry, buddy.
Why would he say that? Everyone's saying Sam.
I think Mark is, he's saying that he said those things in the archive room. I think he might be worried that maybe that footage is going to get released. And so he's trying to get ahead of it, that he's talked to the cameras about targeting Dane. And so now he's trying to be like, dude, no, it was a lie. Okay, I was just mad.
This guy's so...
Why are you telling him that? That's not good.
What?
Dane just got out like two people he wasn't looking to keep in the house, in Chelsea and Eddie. I feel like Dane's very easily going to be looking for somebody new to add to his target list. And Mark's like, oh, look at me. I just talked about you.
So, Mark may not be turning on the pretty boys anymore.
Did Sam win though?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm seeing a lot talk of Sam winning than I saw of SD winning. And I mean, it would be fitting that the week where the blood veto might come into play would be the one week where it might screw up everything to go against the pretty boys.
What'd you do with your Mark stock this week?
I can't reveal my things.
I can. I sold it all.
All right. So with Sam as the potential HOH here, I do think she will try to target Dane. I think she will go and you know, either put up like Dane and Esty, or perhaps if she's smarter, Dane and Anthony, and we could see some crazy stuff happening. This is good news if this is the case.
I hope so. I really hope it's not another HOH that's run by the pretty boys. I hope it's not like, I don't know. I remember in our season, anytime Kayla would win HOH, Derek was just suddenly so much more into her and just so like friendly with her and just so like paid attention, made eye contact and all that. And I'm like, I kind of see it sometimes with like Adam and Sam, and I'm like, I don't want that. Like, I don't want Sam winning and then Adam coming and being like, oh, like, you know, I have you, we're so close. And then her just being like so over head over heels over him that, you know, she just goes with it. Because I see it over and over and over again with girls and showmances. Like, they just get so hard-eyed. It could be as bad as, you know, it could be like as bad as Kayla, and they still, as soon as they're with a guy, they just kind of like lose sight and they get really involved with their feelings. And I just don't want that happening for Sam, because I feel like she has so much potential. She's been pretty good at comms so far. She is on to the pretty boys. She wants to target them. I just think that sometimes I feel like Adam has a way with her.
Yeah. If Sam is the HOH, if Sam or Adam get an entire week of an HOH room to themselves, and it's a full week, the feeds will not be on in that HOH room very often. That's the way I'll put it.
Or they will be on way too much. way more than we want them to be.
They'll be cut a lot, especially towards the end of the night. Or
I'm seeing that they're talking about like they were warned that there are that like they might be being watched, and that's why Mark is so worried. I don't know why they would say that though.
I guess he's thinking like there might be one person that's been watching them and mm-hmm. saw him say it. So now he's like, I'm going to cover my ass.
Yeah, he could be thinking somebody was in there every week, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sam is the HOA. That's definitely interesting. You know, we still don't have full confirmation, but I think that's enough of a tease to leave you on here. And I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens tonight on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I might go live after this podcast to check out the feeds, especially if some stuff is going down with Sam as HOH. So tune in there. Once again, you can find Paris. Make sure you check out her YouTube videos. They're great. She does an excellent job. So, check that out. And of course, again, you can find Matt at Matt Ligori. Paris, is there anything else you want to bring up before we end this podcast?
I guess thank you to those of you that continue to support me and have love for me. And thank you to those of you that showed up to this and, you know, listened to me ramble on for a while. I hope you're enjoying the season, and I hope I get to come on soon and, you know, talk some more Big Brother.
Awesome. We will definitely have you back at some point. Great talking to you, Paris. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. We will see you next time.
Here's a summer travel tip. Pack just one pair of shoes that goes with every outfit and occasion, like the versatile, perfectly packable tree shoes from Allbirds. Made to look great and feel even better, they're the ideal choice for vacations, staycations, and every road trip in between. For an everyday, go-anywhere breathable sneaker, snag a pair of tree runners. If sporty's your style, you'll love the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree dashers too. And of course, you can't go wrong with the classic low-top look of the tree pipers. The best part is, they're all crafted with lightweight, breathable eucalyptus fiber that takes comfy to the next level. So you'll be stepping out in style and comfort wherever you go. Your summer adventures are just getting started, so you need shoes that can handle anything. That's why Allbirds has you covered. Step into summer travel with the perfect travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your pair of tree dashers, runners, pipers, and more at allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.